Let's read together Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Now, in this first section of Matthew chapter 14, we have the record of the martyrdom of John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Once again, let's consider some background notes. In verse 1, we read, "At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus." Who is this Herod the Tetrarch? This is not Herod the Great of Matthew chapter 2, who killed the babies in Bethlehem. No, this is one of his sons. By the way, remember that Herod the Great is only called Herod the Great in secular history, not in the Bible. He's called Herod the Great in secular history because of his great building projects, including the temple project in Jerusalem. In the Bible, Herod the Great is known as the Herod who killed the babies in the Bethlehem area in his attempt to get rid of the true king, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Herod here in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 14 is Herod Antipas, one of the sons of Herod the Great. He is called Herod the Tetrarch because he ruled over one-fourth of Palestine. His territory included both Galilee and Perea, east of the Jordan River. This is the Herod that Jesus referred to as "that fox" in Luke chapter 13, verse 32. This is the Herod that was against the Lord, according to Acts 4, 27. This is the Herod who judged Jesus at his trial under Pontius Pilate. I'm reading Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 11. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. Luke 23, verses 6 through 11. Let me ask you, why did the Lord not say a word to this Herod? Answer, this was the Herod who silenced the voice of God when he had John the Baptist murdered. That was Herod's last chance. Here in Matthew chapter 14, we have the account of that murder. We see in verse 2 that Herod was haunted by that event and thought that Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. So verses 3 through 12 now are parenthesis or literary flashback, giving us the details of the martyrdom of John the Baptist. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first section of Matthew chapter 14. Doctrinal point number 1, speaking out against sin is a responsibility of the believer. Speaking out against sin is a responsibility of the believer. In verses 3 and 4, we read that Herod had John the Baptist arrested, bound, and put in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herodias was the daughter of another son of Herod the Great. So Herod Philip actually married his niece, and then Uncle Herod Antipas seduced her away from his brother Philip and married her himself. Well, John the Baptist boldly spoke out against this sexual sin. Now, you can well imagine that this took a lot of guts, because Herod Antipas was not just some local citizen, but a major political figure. And he had the power to put John the Baptist to death. And he would have if it wasn't for the fact that he feared the political implications. John the Baptist was considered a prophet of God by the crowds. So Herod had John the Baptist arrested and imprisoned. According to Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, John the Baptist was imprisoned in the stronghold of Machaerus on the east side of the Dead Sea. John the Baptist spoke out against the sexual sin of Herod because Herod was wrong, regardless of his position. John the Baptist did the right thing, and so should we. Speaking out against sin is a responsibility of the believer. This is what our Lord meant when he said that believers are to be the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. As salt was a preservative in food and prevented the spread of decay, so believers are to prevent the spread of moral decay around them. And this involves speaking out against sin. Let me ask you this morning, are you a grain of salt where you work or where you live? Are you willing to speak out against the sexual sins of fornication and adultery and homosexuality? You will not be popular and you will not be politically correct, but you will be right, as John the Baptist was right. When John the Baptist was in prison, the Lord commended him for his outspoken stand and ministry. I'm reading Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'" Matthew 11, verses 2 through 11. We too will be commended by the Lord if we're willing to stand for the truth and speak out against sin. Speaking out against sin is a responsibility of the believer. Doctrinal point number two. Speaking out against sin is costly for the believer. Speaking out against sin is costly for the believer. John the Baptist's bold stand against sin was costly for him. It ultimately led to his death. Herodias saw her chance to get back at John for his outspokenness. On Herod's birthday, she had her daughter Salome dance before Herod and his party guests. Salome's name is not given to us in the Gospels. Again, we get this reliable information from the writings of Josephus, the first century Jewish historian. Most likely, Salome's dance was a sensual one, and it certainly pleased Herod. As a result, Herod promised to give her whatever she asked for. There's a good chance that Herodias planned this whole event from start to finish. Herodias told her daughter to ask for the head of John the Baptist. Herod was distressed about this because he knew that John was a prophet of God. But Herod reluctantly granted the request to save face before his dinner guests. How terrible a decision. John's disciples came and buried the body of John the Baptist. Speaking out against sin is costly for the believer. You know, just recently I was watching a TV talk show on which there was a religious panel discussing the subject of knowing God. The panel consisted of a Hindu, a Muslim, a Jew, and a couple of Christians. One of the Christians was an evangelical and definitely a true believer. And all of his answers were based solidly on Scripture. But when this evangelical spoke out about sin and the fact that people are sinners by nature, he was almost laughed at by the other panelists. When he quoted Jeremiah 17:9, the rest of the panel turned a deaf ear. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Even the other Christian on the panel didn't like the idea that the heart of man is desperately wicked. And when the evangelical conveyed the idea of the substitutionary, sacrificial death of Christ on the cross in order to pay the penalty for our sins, and that this was the only way of salvation, you could tell that the rest of the panel despised this man and thought that he was out of his mind. Speaking out against sin is costly for the believer. Now, being outspoken against sin may not cost you your life, but it will cost you something. When a Christian speaks out against sin in our society, it may result in the loss of a promotion in the workplace, or even the loss of a job. Christian writers will not be published when they speak out against any sin which has become socially acceptable, such as the killing of the unborn. Even in the Christian community, speaking out against sin is not always appreciated. Not all Christians accept John the Baptist-type prophets. Speaking out against sin is costly for the believer. What about practical application? Go to the Lord when you're bereaved. Go to the Lord when you're bereaved. Verse 12. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. After the disciples of John the Baptist buried the body of the great prophet, they went to the Lord and told him the sad news. They came to the right person. They did not get angry or bitter towards God because God had allowed their leader to be killed. No, they came to Jesus. Do you see the practical application for us? Go to the Lord when you're bereaved. You know, just this past summer, I lost my mother. She was 91. And just this past Christmas, Margie lost her mother. She was 90. Well, where do you go in times like this? You go to the Lord when you're bereaved. He gives comfort and strength and encouragement. Unfortunately, some Christians become bitter towards God in times of bereavement. How sad. They lose out on the comfort and strength that only God can give. Listen, the Lord knows and cares and is in control. Go to the Lord when you're bereaved.